Hold! Hold hard, I say! Your money or your life! 'Tis I, Jack Shepherd, who holds these pistols at your breast. Hold, I say, hold, for I would board thee.
I'm sorry, man, we full up inside. There's another one behind.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Joan Sims in...
Stop messing about.
People of the world, this is the voice of Kenneth Williams the First. Speak, shut up. Speaking to you from a sandbagged chaise longue somewhere west of Basingstoke. Last night I sent my forces to seize control of the Houses of Parliament, the BBC and the Hufnell Park slipper baths.
Well, they give you a lovely rub down for ninepence.
My demands are simple, and I expect the present Prime Minister to satisfy them in full. Yes, remember. Remember, my ultimate deterrent is poised over your head.
There's a frightening thought. What is he doing, Joe?
Well, I don't know, do I?
I'm starting a popular movement.
Yes. Joe, how long has this been going on?
Well, since last week. Apparently the new Director General nicked his place in the bicycle rack at Broadcasting House.
Who is that all?
What worries me is this ultimate deterrent he's supposed to have.
Oh, that?
He showed it to me once.
It's pathetic. A pair of rusty iron anvils tied together with string.
Well, that wouldn't do anybody any harm.
You try picking it up, love.
I need men behind me. Men who don't know the meaning of the word trepidation.
Trepidation?
You'll do. Follow me and wave this copy of my little red book, The Thought of Kenneth Williams.
Thought?
He's only got the one.
Onwards, outwards, upwards, to a better tomorrow, where men are men and women are women.
Well, he's in there somewhere.
Listen.
Yes.
Just... We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight in the streets. We few. Oh, we happy few. We...
Have you quite finished?
Yes. Oh, I did. I did enjoy that. Oh, I enjoyed it. Off my chest. Oh, I love that.
I'm glad. Glad somebody did.
Yeah.
Now, to give the show a little tone, which it so badly needs, we continue our tour of the ancestral home of the Earl of Shotterley.
Yes, welcome to Toll Purges Hall. The room I'm in today is reputed to be haunted by a fearful apparition known as the Whirling Monk. He's a whirler, you see. Yes, he appears on alternate Fridays and has a weird and ghastly habit. As he comes out of the wardrobe, crosses the room and disappears through that wall where there used to be a door leading to the bathroom. Couple of minutes later, he returns and goes back in the wardrobe, as if some strange inner call has been answered. Of course, I've never seen him myself, but the last chambermaid reported mysterious knockings in the small hours and was forever rushing onto the landing crying, "Oh, I've seen it! I've seen it!" Silly. Yeah. Mind you, I'm very sceptical about these ghost stories.
I'm sorry to interrupt, my lord, but I've just seen a monk with his tonsure tucked underneath his arm. He disappeared through that wall.
Go, absolute rubbish. Ghosts, indeed. I just had the place exorcised. Cost me a fortune. What wall did you say?
That one over there.
Oh, I don't believe you. Oh, well, the vicar will hear about this.
And now it's Crackerjack and Nori with Mother Time. When the music stops, Maud Nethersole will start telling one of her stories. And after that, it's every man for himself.
Hello, Tinies. And Huges, too. What a helpful man the plumber is, isn't he? Anyway, mine is. Now, here's a story about someone who longed to become a plumber. A little girl called Florence.
Why, somebody don't want to know plumbers in your bar,
she said. But, Florence, said her daddy, only little boys become plumbers, but you could become a plumber's mate. And Florence said... And Florence said... Which was very rude of her, wasn't it? And she went upstairs and wrote to Father Christmas asking for a blow lamp. But howsomever, one day, all the taps in Florence's home stopped working. And after several weeks, Daddy said, we can't go on like this, Agnes. Better send for Mr. Potts the plumber and tell him to bring his plunger with him. Well, Mr. Potts examined all their pipes, and then he took a look under the kitchen sink. And what do you think he found? Florence. Hello, Florence, he said. What are you doing there?
Why, you pussy put them all in your bag, Mr. Potts, they say.
So I see, said Mr. Potts. And it's very naughty of you to turn off the stopcock. Turn it on at once. And she did. And they were all drowned, except Florence, who lived happily ever after. Now, wasn't that a lovely story?
I don't know how she has the nerve.
And now, here's a song we can all dance to, and while I'm singing it, I shall be dancing too.
For mercy, we're not on television.
I'm a falling leaf, dancing in the breeze, and I sing a little song as well. Of a leaf who used to be very high upon a tree, but is really rather glad she fell. I'm an autumn breeze, dancing with a leaf underneath her family tree. The leaf grew on a bough, but she isn't on it now, and the one who blew her off was me. I'm a great big tree, swaying in the breeze. My branches are completely bare. Once I had a leaf, but that leaf has come to grief, and I can't say that I really care. 'Cause I've got a nest of robins in my hair.
Once again, we open the pages of my amazing pull-out supplement.
And on page one, our very own Correspondence Corner.
Oh, a heartless thief has stolen the saddle from my bicycle and I feel deeply wounded.
Yes, you would. Next.
I think I'm turning into a hermaphrodite. What can I do?
Several things spring to mind. Next.
People ignore me and pay no attention to what I say. Nobody ever listened to me. What can I do?
Next.
See, I told you.
I'm the mother of 19 children, and in these troubled times, my husband wonders if we're doing the right thing.
Can there be any doubt? Now we come to the feature we call Vardying Back, where famous personalities recall their early struggles. And today we hear about the life of a test pilot from two of those magnificent men in their flying machines.
Oh, hello, I'm Blue Max, and this is my friend and co-pilot, Sopwith Puck.
Oh, hello!
Oh, yes, how very aeronautical to vardy a control tower through me flying goggles.
I see you're both wearing parachutes as well.
Mm.
Or are they bustles?
Only bones!
No, love, they're parachutes all right. Yeah. Yeah. Ran them up ourselves, sweetie.
Yes.
850 yards round the hem they are.
Mm.
Every stitch done by hand.
Mm, yeah, my hand.
Well,
and then, if you please, he won sequins on his.
Well, nothing elaborate, you know, just the odd cluster.
Yes, you and your odd cluster. Suppose some of them drop off when you're doing a jump.
Well,
you can get a very nasty bruise from a falling sequin.
Sounds terribly dangerous work.
Oh, it's here.
Oh, yes.
Here, tell about how you got your pilot's license.
Oh, I don't think I should.
Go on, tell him.
No, the remembrance is too painful.
Oh, go on, get it out. Purge yourself.
All right. Well, I had this instructor, see.
Yeah, tell him his name. Tell him his name. It was Clint. Wasn't it? Clint. Yeah, it was Clint.
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 Yes.
Go on, go on.
Well, Clint sort of took me under his wing.
Yeah. Took him under his wing, he got the chocks out.
Oh, I love the soft scent.
You fooled the things in front of the wheels.
Oh, sorry.
Dentist. Things in front of the wheels.
Wheels.
Go on.
I'm with you now.
Go on.
He asked me if I fancy a quick flip.
Yes, and you did. And you did. Yeah.
Anyway, that one thing led to another, and Clint said, oh, I can't.
Go on. Go on. Tell him. Tell him. Tell him. Go on.
He said, I was ready to try the pilot's seat. But he said not to worry because he would be right behind me.
Right behind me.
Anyway, we're up to 1,000 feet and just cruising. Somewhere over the Isle of Man.
Nice, nice.
Yes. Nice. When suddenly we hit an air pocket and the plane goes into a dive, I turn to Clint for guidance and he's not there!
Clint's not there!
Not
of course
there.
Not! He's still on the ground! Yes. Imagine it, Ducky. The plane plunging downwards towards the sea.
See?
The wind screaming up at
screaming.
Him. Him screaming back. He tries to bail out, but his ripcord's all knotted round the joystick.
Yes.
Then tell him, tell him.
I hear Clint's voice coming up from ground control.
Use the ejector seat, he shouts. Use the ejector seat, it's your only hope. But did he use it? Did he?
No, I didn't.
Why ever not?
Tell him why you didn't use the ejector seat.
Well, I hate being sent up.
Once again, it's time for yet another return visit from our wandering pop group, those two hits and a misses, Peter, Paul and Mrs. Nosepoltice. Are you about to amaze us with another infectious ditty culled from the substrata of some primitive community?
Oh, certainly not. We're going to sing.
I was afraid you might.
It's a track from our latest folk album, which has just come into the charts at number 3.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, in Formosa. We stayed around and played around Camden Town too long.
Summer's been and gone
and winter's coming on.
We stayed around and played around Camden Town too long.
It's time we all moved on.
We'll hit the trail to Maida Vale or maybe Golders Green.
I've heard from folks who've been, the beds are very clean.
They've got a lovely cemetery, the best you've ever seen.
It's time we all moved on.
A lady who my brother knew had been to Finchley West,
and she was most impressed.
Oh, Finchley West is best, 'cause there you'll find they drop the blind before they get undressed.
It's time we all moved on.
They say it's good in Cricklewood and nice in Easton too.
The buses run right through, you're on the Bakerloo.
And can the things we've heard about Cop Fosters will be true?
It's time we all moved on.
But it ain't bad.
It's time we all moved on.
Again, we come to our film adaptation, and this week a science fiction film with a difference. In association with Stanley Halfbrick, we proudly present ...2002, A Space Oddity. The Dawn of Man. A small group of hairy, brutish figures are huddling in a gully. As we move closer to see what they're doing, we ask ourselves, can these be men? And as we move closer still, we conclude that some of them must be. We sent our roving reporter to interview them.
Hello, I'm standing by these ape creatures with a microphone in my hand.
Ain't that an anachronism?
No, it's a microphone. Now, can you tell me something about yourself?
Well, we are your actual first generation, and we're busy learning how to make things.
But such as what?
A second generation.
Yeah, it was trial and error, but I think we finally hit on how it's done.
Yeah?
We rubbed two sticks together.
Genius!
Oh, yeah, that's nothing, though. You should see the way we try to make fire.
Mankind is not to stay at this level. Oh, neither is the humor, I hope. The turning point is the sudden appearance of something huge and alien.
Oh, look, a black monolithic slab.
Touch it and see what happens.
Hang on, let's have a look at the slab first.
As he reached out and touched the slab, something strange, mysterious, and rather wonderful happened. It fell on him. His mind began to work.
Here, I just thought of an invention. Look, a round, flat thing to go on the corner of carts with spokes and a steel rim.
What are you going to call it?
Fire. Let's have a glass of wine to celebrate. What have we got?
Well, there's a bottle of bone, year one.
Is that a good year?
No, but it's the only one we got. Cheers.
They drained their glasses and flung the bottle of bone high in the air. It cartwheeled lazily and... 4 million years later. Oh, the magic of radio. It became a rocket ship approaching an orbiting space station.
The rocket now approaching Space Platform 4 is the 222 from Venus. Passengers for the moon and Finchley Central change at
Miss, my name is Dr. Rapacious Nose Frittering. I want you to fly me to the moon.
Oh, yes.
And let me play among the stars. Let me know what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, second class return, please. Thank you for helping.
Welcome to the moon, Dr. Loose Fritting. Thank goodness you've come. We've discovered another black monolithic slab.
Woo!
It seems to be sending out some sort of alien message.
To whom?
Granny and the twins and all of number 10 Sebastopol Terrace, Jupiter.
Jupiter?
A multi-million pound expedition was launched towards Jupiter. Aboard the mighty spaceship were two astronauts. First, Gramercy McQuicket.
That's me. My spacesuit has a life support system based on constantly recirculating moisture.
The second astronaut was the superbly trained Cyril Tuck.
Yes, I can do things in free fall that make your eyes pop out. You can rely on me to hold up my end.
Yes. There was one snag having Cyril on the mission. You see, he liked to sleep with the windows open. It's silly, really, because outside was a complete vacuum of space.
I, Douglas Smith, play the complete vacuum. I have an extendable nozzle for getting into awkward corners, and I suck up filth wherever I go. You can get me going by plugging me in at any point. Why not try me on your carpet?
I should be so desperate.
Suck, suck.
Also, aboard ship was a fantastic computer called Sal.
Hello, boys. Yes, I have been made so that I can talk. Though you'd never guess it from the last two pages. I'm in charge of the ship, and I'm completely infallible. Allible. Allible. Allible.
Oh, allible. Give her a bang.
Mary had a little lamb. The midwife had a fit. Exterminate all Earth creatures. Thanks for the memory. They say a computer is neuter. It suits as a mute sort of tutor. I refute with a hoot. You're a dissolute mute and en route for a boot up the hooter.
Yes, I think we may have trouble there. Gramercy. Where's Gramercy Muckwicket? What have you done with him, you tin witch?
I've sent him to play outside. Evil chuckle as of computer gone round the twist.
Outside without his wellies? Oh, you know what's out there.
Suck, oh. Suck.
Sad to say, I was finished a dried-up husk, spinning slowly towards the sun, but the mighty spaceship sped onwards to its destination.
You've killed him, you cybernetic coquette. Very well, you leave me no choice. I shall strip down your working parts.
Oh, no, not that!
Yes, I wipe your spools, so...
Get down, I'm ticklish.
Then I pull out your sensitized flip flop, so. Then I cut off your input output selectors. And twist your digital diodes. There.
Oh, dear, you are wrong.
Yeah, now you do it to me.
It's another black monolithic slab.
Let's see. Intergalactic Cornflakes Company. Black monolithic slab number 3. Collect the full set and win a fortnight's holiday in Venus.
On the other side, it's the Stop Messing About Orchestra and Chorus popping up yet again at the crucial moment with a cheery song to get us out.
2001, when man began, when he developed space drive. 4 million years to the closing credits, but it felt more like 5.
So ends this week's film adaptation. All that remains is a comment from Mr. Paddock.
I never file my fingernails. Just throw them away.
And a word from Kenneth Williams to the man who waved at him from the pink Rolls Royce.
I've got your number, Duffy. There's
That was Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Joan Sims and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook and Miles Rudge. The producer was John Simmons.